All right, I just want to say thank you for letting me be here. It's been a while since I've got behind a pulpit. But I have a title here on this, and it's more about sharing from what I've been through to get here and how God wants to take us all into an activation of being released into reaching into other people. And let me put my glasses on. So my title is Coming to the Understanding of the Cost of My God-Made Reality, Identity and Destiny, and a Nightmare to Conquer Walking Through a Door of Rejection to Produce the Character and Understanding that Will Become the Righteousness of God, Becoming a Manifest Son, Operating from My Inheritance and a Covenant of Oneness. I wanted to thank Sherry, but she's not here today. She's one of the reasons why I'm up here right now. And I just want to say she was a great encourager. She could get a sparrow to take on a vulture. She's good. That's funny. I had a conviction a while back when I was asked to go ahead and speak here before, and I shied away. And when Jimmy Reed was here, we did a writing experiment where we started with my son or my daughter. And God had me write this down, said, I made you in my furnace to burn passionately. I see you as a flame of love's fire, to be confident and bold with my love, to burn everything away that is not of me in others. A father that starts fires in others to burn for me and with me in life eternal. So I felt a little convicted because when I was asked to share, that was God saying, come on, you know, there's something inside you that you gotta share with others. And so I'm here now because of that. And I want to go back to where God brought me out of. And I'm from Los Angeles. I was born and raised out there. And it was a pretty crazy time of living when I was young. I'll say my first rejection and not even understanding what was going on is that my dad wasn't in my life. He really wasn't part of my life. I met him a few times, and I was real young at the time, and I think the last time I saw him, I was probably about 8, 9 years old. And in growing up, I was rooted and grounded around everybody who was under the curse. And living under the curse, everything's natural to you, you know? And I'll just say that partaking of things that I shouldn't have partook of when I was little caused me to start sacrificing my purity that I didn't even know was to be precious, you know, that was given from God. And it led to a lifestyle of self-destruction. You know, I did a lot of bad things. I used to do a lot of drugs. I hung around with all the crazy people. I did a lot, man. And I never had the hope of God of what I should have. And in all those experimenting and going deeper with things, God had put somebody in my life who was a Christian. And this Christian family took me to a church one time with them. And I felt God's presence in there. And I was about 17 at the time when I did this. And what happened was, there's about 150, 200 people in the congregation, and I was really self-conscious about raising my hands during worship, and I felt like everybody was looking at me. But I guess it was the fear of not knowing but wanting what they had to offer, and every time they would call for an altar call, I wanted to be saved, but I was too scared to go up front. And this is the first recollections that I have of God actually being able to read your mind. And I remember I leaned my head forward and I said, God, just please save me here, save me here. And I was in silence, and then the pastor looked up, and I'm way in the back, little skinny runt in the back. And he says, you, come here. And it was an all Spanish-speaking congregation. I never really met the pastor other than nod ahead when I came in. And God did two things. He let me know that he reads minds and that I spoke English more than I spoke Spanish. And he called me out because he knows I was too scared to go up there on my own. And my friend's mom says, hey, they're calling you in Spanish. And my heart dropped. And I was like, what, me? Are you sure? I'm ducking down. He's like, you, come here. So I went up in fear going over there. And he starts speaking to me right as I got to the pulpit. He says, there's nothing in the world for you no more, son. Don't look back. He touched me on the head, and I felt my first supernatural encounter with God. I felt warmth, the Holy Spirit, just come into my body, to my feet, to my chest, to my arms, back to my chest, and out of me, and it dropped me. And when I used to see people get laid out in the Spirit, I used to not think that was real, and that was my first encounter. Everybody was speaking in tongues over me. I didn't even know what that was. And I was just there at peace, and I was fluttering and shaking on the floor for a long time. And that was my first deposit with God. But as I've come to grow now and learn that I got saved when I was sitting back there in the seat and I wanted God with me, he just brought me forth to confirm what had happened. And that was pretty profound for me. However, I didn't stay connected long with that family. And in that, the progress of life and all the friends that I had, I went back to the old lifestyles of what I used to do. I've always been a hard worker. God always put hardworking men around me so I could maintain a job and function, but I would go live a wild lifestyle at night. And it took a toll on me. It took a long toll on me. And there was a time in my life where everything just started falling apart. I lost my girlfriend. I lost my job. Things weren't sticking together. At that time, a lot of people, my friends, were getting shot and killed. Keep in mind, I grew up around gang members, people who grew up to become gang members. And I always had a tender heart, but around rough people. And so that wasn't in me, but I grew up around them, so I was close to them as friends, but I didn't want to be an evil person. You know, I just, that didn't call to me. So in that, during that time, my mom had moved out here to Colorado, and she had a boyfriend that I didn't get along with who was real rude with her. Well, we ended up fighting, and I corrected him for being disrespectful to my mom. And they came their way out here, and I stood back in California. And so I was mad at my mom, and I'm her only son, so I have no siblings. And I held that against her. I was kind of bitter with her for her to choose him, you know, but she was after love. So who am I to stop love, right? Well, in that process, when I lost my job and I started going through all these things, God started giving me dreams. I didn't know, but I know now because I have prophetic dreams now. And my dreams were vivid that I was going to die. And I got to the point where I couldn't sleep, and I kept looking around every corner because death was pretty common back where I lived. And my mom called me out of the blue, and I think we didn't talk for like maybe 4 years, 5 years, something like that. And she says, why don't you come out here to Colorado and come check it out? And the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, who I didn't know then either really, came and gave me peace as soon as she said that, and I knew I had to come out here. So I said bye to everything, and I left, and I said, okay, a new start, I can be a new person. Nobody doesn't know all the bad I did out there, you know, and I can get a fresh start and try and grow up. And it didn't take long before I still realized I had that sinful nature with me, you know. God always waits for you to come to the end of yourself when you're finally tired of that. And I started getting locked up in county jail, and I do these little pieces of time. And I got around people who were having Bible studies, and it always called to me. And it seems like God always had some kind of Bible study around me. And inside, I always wanted that. So I started hanging out with these guys, and I'd start hearing about God. And I'd catch a little fire, you know. My little measure of faith started turning into a little flame here and there. And I'd get all happy, and I'd try to get right with God, but I didn't have it together, you know. So I'd be Alex again when I'd get out. that was a cycle that I kept living through for a very long time. In that, as I started having a family with my first two children that I had, I wanted to start being a better person because I had my kids, and it was really a struggle then. And I could say I wish that I came to God because of that more, but it didn't happen. it didn't happen. I'd pray once in a great while, but I didn't have an understanding of what it was to have a relationship with him. During the end of that relationship, I got invited to go to church, and I started going to a church out here over on 9th and Kalamath. And some of you may know that church, His Love. And I felt the Spirit there as soon as I walked through the door. My hair raised up on the back of my neck for good, not bad, you know. And I finally saw people that started having a relationship with God, and I actually got some accountability. I was raised up in Catholic church. I used to go with my grandmother faithfully. And if you were gone for a year, 2 months, or whatever, it was still the same thing, you know. But when I came there, like, hey, where were you yesterday, brother? I didn't see you. I'm like, whoa, nobody's ever asked me or told me that before, you know. And they wanted me to be a part of what they had. So that was something that started bringing some light into my life. I started getting a foundation with God. And in that, I wanted to grow. I wanted to do more. But I still had sinful nature in me. And I would feel like Peter sometimes. I'd be one person one way, and then I'd be gone. I'd be another person another way, you know? And my foundation was a lot like what my brother always talks about, saying that we have that Old Testament mindset of works, that we got to do works, you know? And you'd be good for a certain time, and then you'd fall off. Feel guilty, go back again to the beginning of the line and do that all over again. And I come to start learning, you know, the mindsets of what religion will take you or where it will take you. And I knew I wanted more. I had somebody read one time the scripture, what is it, of 2 Chronicles, where it talks about God searches the world to see who he can show himself strong to. And that ministered to me. And in my life, of all the things that I went through, I'll say that the sinful nature would take me to an edge where it was kind of exciting, wild, and like that call was in me to want to see excitement, you know? And really that was for God, because when I read that scripture, it ministered to me in a way that really, my knowledge didn't have understanding of that, but it was calling to me. It was pulling on me. So that scripture came alive to me. And as I started learning that of the people that God showed himself strong to, that they had some miraculous stories and manifestations of God in their life and favor. And I was like, man, that's what I want. And I'd start asking, well, you know, okay, it says that, you know, in the beginning it was strong, but it's going to be greater in the latter than the former, you know. I would start asking about that, and they were like, oh, no, you're reading into it too much, you know. Dial it down a little bit. I was like, no, man, but God's not a man that he should lie. I started learning all these scriptures, and I wanted more. I was hungry. And I come to learn that some places don't go deeper in some areas than others, and the fullness of God's identity has everything of God in there, you know? So I was at a spot where I wanted more, but they couldn't give me more. And I was at a place where that was the first place I actually kind of met God, other than my place of being saved, that I had a loyalty to being there. And that loyalty wouldn't let me really go anywhere else. And I got invited one time to come here and see Rich. I got invited to go get a prophetic word. I didn't even know what that was. And I wanted to go. And so every time it would come up, my house would come under attack. I was married then. And I would be going to work and do good. And then I'd come home Saturday. I was like, all right, I'm going. I'm going to go to Jeremiah 33. And every time it would come up, my wife would start acting crazy with me, arguing and everything. And I just wanted peace in my house. I was like, okay, I'm not going. For 4 months in a row, that kept happening. I started seeing this pattern happen. And it happened to be at my church Sunday before that it was released. If there's something for you somewhere else and you're getting opposition to go, you better go, because it's the enemy holding you back to not receive what you should have. You know? And I said, okay, I purpose this next time. I'm going no matter what. So sure enough, like clockwork, everything happened again. And I just stood in peace and calm. I said, okay, you want to go do what you're going to go do? That's fine. I'm going to church. So if you don't want to go with me, I'm going by myself. And I came, and it was pretty profound because I received a calling on my destiny already, and I was and that was pretty amazing for my first prophetic word. And I was called to prison ministry, and they were talking about everything that was going on in my life, and I was struggling in marriage. And I always wanted everything to work in my life. Once I got older, I wanted my marriage to work. So I went to counseling with different people, and it didn't fit the paradigm of what they were saying it should be. And it was like God was using my marriage to mold me, to mold my character, to help raise me to get through to who I'm supposed to be. And I just wanted peace, you know, and it wasn't coming. It wasn't coming the way I thought it would be or should look like, or when I seen people who were successful in the church. And then it came the same with my work. My work would be the same way as well. I would do good at what I was doing, but I wouldn't get promoted. And I'm like, why won't I get promoted if I'm walking in excellence and doing this and showing that I can take care of all this stuff? I'm like, why can't I move forward if all promotion comes from the Lord? Then why aren't you promoting me? So God, it took a long time for God to answer that one, but he finally answered me, and he says, if I give you that now, you're going to think that your lifestyle and what you're living and where you're at, you made it. And you want more, and the more is going to cost. You know, there's the invitation to go higher and deeper with God. And I, deep in my heart, I've always wanted that. But I didn't understand the cost of that. And not understanding the cost of that caused me to become bitter. I let it make me bitter in a lot of areas where I felt like I almost wanted to stop trying. And scripture wouldn't let me do that. And it would take me back to a place where, man, you got to be crushed. You got to die to self. You got to bear your cross. You got to die to self daily, you know. And through church, God has always put people in my life that help me with the bits and pieces of the puzzle that's missing. For instance, we just had a barbecue. My sister shared with me, the people in your life help you become to who you're supposed to be. And that really resonated with me. I want to thank you for that. Yeah, you, Nancy. And that really ministered to me deep to even release more forgiveness of things in my past. And it helped me to have more understanding. And as God is taking me deeper, it's to go spiritually deeper with him. And Jesus operated with the seven spirits. And it's like God is taking me to that place now where I need to understand through his wisdom. And it's easy to say that, but when you see things from your perspective, you're trying to understand and make sense of what's going on in your life. You don't know what's going on, you know. God's used me to go to prison ministry to get a taste. I've seen miracles happen, praying for people, praise God. But it was a taste. It was a deposit of what he had for me, but what's to come. And I still needed the character for that, you know. So I'm looking at it as longevity down the road. And it's been a rough road, but it's nice to see him come bring those things together in my life that bring those things to come to pass. The urgency that's inside a person's spirit of what we're going through in life will help you to see the truth of his plan, of what he has for us. You know, and I thank God for this place, because if it wasn't for this place, each and every person that I know has poured into me a little at a time when I've needed something. Spiritual father right here, help a person to understand how to be rooted and grounded in love, to watch the redemptive heart of God come and work in your life. And if you stand back and you separate from the curse the way what everything is supposed to be happening, once you understand that, you start to look up from a higher place and look down on things. And the perspective gets better, and understanding really comes on you. And it changes things. You can see why you went through what you went through. Now, I've been forgiven of much. So there's a scripture that says, those who are forgiven of much love much. And like Rich says, I was called to going out to the homeless, called to do prison ministry, called with men who were having broken families and life and lifestyles, and reaching into them. I had to go through a lot of what they went through. And one time I was complaining, God, why am I going through all this? If I'm trying to seek you and be with you, why can't I? And he said, if you don't go through what they go through, how will you have compassion for them? And it broke my heart to hear that. And it gave me understanding again. So I had peace to say, okay, well then let it be unto me. You know, and Psalms 1, it says, blessed is the man who doesn't stand in the path of a sinner or have the counsel of the ungodly, right? Paraphrasing here, or sit in the seat of the scornful. And without understanding, you end up in that place. You know, you end up in that place. And without him and being close to him, you won't have that understanding. And so I feel that without that crushing, that the oil will never flow, you know. And it's a beautiful thing to have his oil flow and watch somebody operate in the anointing, to watch somebody operate with the Holy Spirit, not shoot from the hip, you know. Those things really make a difference in other people's lives. Coming here and learning what the prophetic is helps to unlock people's hearts, and it did that for me here. And I give thanks for that, and I appreciate what came of that and how it's worked in my life for others now. So, yes.
When he's talking about the whole promote, the idea of, you know, the promotion that you're talking about, and I feel like the reason it didn't come for you when it came, when you wanted it, but came when God wanted to bring it after you've gone through what you needed to go through. If it came earlier than that, then people would think that it was all you and not God. And if it had come earlier, you wouldn't have been, you're not, you wouldn't go where you're going now, is what I'm trying to get at, is you're, the promotion came because of God, not because of you. Had it come earlier, you would have flamed out in some things and you would have had to start back in the line, so to speak. And I just feel like when God gave you the promotions that you've gotten, it's because you were ready and he was ready to give those to you. And you're more powerful because he did it. Because in your power, you wouldn't be able to fly that high. And that goes with me. That goes with everybody else. It's when we get out ahead of God, we flame out. Yeah. And you're not flaming out.
Yeah, I didn't want to plateau with him. And that's what would have happened. Amen. So in my understanding, when I was trying to make things happen and do all that, it was, I guess, trying to put part of the American dream inside my walk with God. And not wanting a lot would be the cover, the mask of what I would operate under. Like, well, I don't want a mansion, you know what I mean? I know I got that in heaven, but, you know, just a house and a good running car and this and that, and that's all I need, and then I'll go do ministry for you, Lord. You know my heart. And it didn't fit, you know? It didn't fit. And all the things that you say all the time of what the gospel should look like is so spot on key all the time. And the perspective of what we have of coming into that totally turns your life upside down, and it will cause you to go to different places or be open to different things that are uncomfortable. God will pull you out into places. When he had me go do prison ministry for the first time, I had to go with a whole crew of people I didn't know anybody, and I had to go, and it was a 3-day retreat that we were going to do inside the prison. I was having nightmares that I was going to be locked up. I wasn't going to be able to get out. I was waking up and praying on my knees, please, Lord, I don't want nothing to come back from the past. But going through what a lot of people have gone through, I myself also have been to prison. When I went with that team, it was pretty profound. So God once again gave me a taste of what I'm supposed to be doing in the future with him. And it led to a place of his power being released. And when that happened, when I was in there and that happened, it was powerful. It was really powerful. And I seen everything that I went through in life, of all the bad, made me ready for that time that I stood there in the place for those men to be the intercessor between them and God. And God touched them strongly. And it's just because I had their perspective, and I know what's on a man's heart when he's lonely and severed from his family in that situation. They came out, man. They came out at the end of all that, you know, with everybody that was preaching and everything. And my piece was just to take down people's prayer requests and pray for their prayer requests. There was one man who was in there, and the Holy Spirit didn't let me read his. It was supposed to be a one-on-one encounter. And I noticed that I didn't read his prayer request and pray for him, and I felt convicted. So I waited till everything was over. And I went up to him and I told him, hey, I want to apologize. I go, this is my first prison ministry outreach. I go, and I didn't get to read your prayer. And he says, this is okay. This is the first time I've ever been to church in my life. And we talked for a little bit. And he told me that he was in prison doing life for murder. when he was saying that, God was telling me that his heart was hurting because he couldn't be there to protect his family. And that's what he knew. That's what he knew how to do best for his family from his upbringing. And so I started praying with him, and man, I felt the Holy Spirit come out, and then God tells me to tell him that he still can do more for his family by praying and being one with God and covering his family and sending God's anointing and protection over them, that would bless them in a mighty way, and to teach them about God. And that man just broke down in tears, saying that he was glad that he came to church for the first time and that he got to meet me. And I was like, well, you got to meet God, you know, and to accept the Lord. And everybody came in and started saying, well, where do you go to church? Where do you go to church? And I was like, you know, seek the Lord, man, and just have that relationship with him. And God is now bringing those things near to come to pass now. And without paying that price, sometimes we'll have some lack in there to not make it happen, you know? If we get ahead of ourselves, and that's me, I get a word and I think it's for tomorrow. Discerning God's time is something that takes time. And he'll grow patience in there. And I know a lot of us not like to say, help me with patience, you know? But I want to thank everybody here that has poured into my life. People here that have kept me accountable. Even when I've been silent. Is it on? Oh, okay. Sorry. And for people to hold me accountable, you know, even when I wasn't walking right. That's what I love about this place. Being rooted in a place where it's cultivated in the fullness of God is truly a blessing. And God had to raise me up through things to get here. It took a lot of years to get to this place and to grow in it. And I thank God for this place, because without it, who knows how far back I would still be. And yet I still got ways to go. But the confidence of God's love and what he's done in me has bringing forth that character that I need, that people need out there. And so with that, I just say God bless, and I impart that the love of God and the Holy Spirit releases an oil that catches fire in each person. And to know that when you pour into people, just like each one of you have, that it tears down principality. And whether we get to disciple somebody day after day, or we pour into somebody a little here, a little there, maybe a child running around crazy in the store, or ministering to the family with something simple and easy, it's tearing down principality. And when we do that, that it will start making a difference in people's lives, believe it or not. Because whether people are saved or not, I've seen people that live the principles of Jesus in their life that aren't saved and have more peace than people who claim to be with God and are saved but don't practice the principles and live destruction. And I'll say I'm a testament to that. And it's profound what that happens, you know. So all you who are pillars, all of you who have poured into me, explain that to people when you release that. And when you release that, you know it's coming from love, and it's coming from a place that you're releasing the kingdom of heaven to them. And when you do that, you'll see some change, whether it's a little or a lot. You know, a lot of us have children that aren't walking in the kingdom the way we would like them to. But there's the place where we start, and your sphere of influence at work, wherever it may be, whatever you do, people are hungry. I have people that won't accept me straight on at work when I'm talking about Jesus, but when they bring up their problems and I talk about the dynamic without mentioning God's name, they'll receive it. And it's amazing that they're offended with the name of Jesus, but not with his principles when I release them to them. And so with that, I want to thank you for your time. And God bless you in Jesus' name. Amen.